Welcome to the Creating Your Life podcast. This is day 33, Creating from Soul, part 2. Okay, it's another day, and I'm going to stretch you some more. And for some of you, I may be challenging some of your fundamental pictures, your fundamental view of reality. And some of you may be a little reactive and just think, this guy is crazy, because what I'm going to be offering you will be in direct contradiction to some of your stored pictures about the nature of truth and reality. That's okay, but keep in mind the 95% rule. There may be some things that you can learn and you can open yourself to. Let me go back to talking about soul. You are soul, immortal and free. What I mean by that is, as soul, you exist outside of time and space. As soul, you exist beyond concepts and ideas and beyond emotions. As soul, you are a creative being, and you can create in a way that is not constrained in the way that the mind is constrained. Yes, there's a part of you, there's a part of yourself, a little self, that is the ego of the mind. And the mind, this little self, likes to be the dominating player. But there is a higher self, this being that you are as soul. Now here's the point. The mind can only create what it can imagine. Soul can create what your mind cannot imagine. And this is why, as soul, you have the power to create things in your life beyond your imagination. And this, I think you would agree, if it's true, would be incredible. So how does soul create? It does not create the way the mind does. It does not itemize phenomena in the same way that the mind does. It doesn't picture definite reality. That's what the mind does. It has limits in terms of time and space. Soul operates in a different way. Soul is not really about manifesting physical things or emotional things or mental things, although that can be included. What does soul manifest? Soul architects states of consciousness. Let me describe again how my wife and I acquired our current home. And let me tell you that this home, if we were to live in this house the rest of our life, till the day we die and retire and die, that would be perfectly fine with us. 17 years ago, we decided to begin looking for a house to buy. And one of the challenges we faced is that we worked in Silicon Valley. We worked from San Francisco to San Jose primarily, and we were looking for a home within that area. And at that time, 17 years ago, it was a seller's market. Homes were getting snatched up and prices were being, a home would go on the market at a certain price and it would be bid up by a bunch of people bidding on the home, and it would go $100,000, $150,000, even $200,000 beyond the original advertised price of the home. Now, being end result thinkers, we didn't allow ourselves to be concerned by that. And also because we understood that soul creates differently than the mind, we didn't allow our minds to get overly worked up about the conditions. We knew that we would be able to find the right home for us. The question is, how would we go about finding that home? We knew that if we created merely from the mind, we could detail a very obvious, imaginative, visualized picture of our home. And we could get that, but if we did just that, there would be things we wouldn't think about. There would be things that would come with it that would probably not make it a happy home. So we chose to create from soul, using some mind elements, but primarily creating from soul. Rather than focusing on things, we focused on states of consciousness. And we defined really clearly the state of consciousness we were aiming for. We wanted to be able to say, we love our home without reservations. Now think about that for a moment. We weren't identifying what things were required necessarily to be able to say that. We were going for the state of consciousness of loving our home without reservations. And in that way, we covered all bases. We wanted a package of things to come together in such a way that we would love the home without reservation. We also had to be practical. You know, we had jobs, we had money, we had a certain amount of money that we could put down as a deposit on the home for a home loan. So we had to actually come up with the exact price we were willing to pay. We had to have a budget. So we said, this is the amount we're willing to pay for a home that can meet our expectation and deliver the state of consciousness of we love our home without reservations. And for us, since we both worked from home at that time, we wanted to be able to say that it probably would be best if there was workspace separated from living space, that it was spacious and light and open. It had this feeling that with it, we had honeymooned in England and Ireland, and we loved gardens, so it'd be nice if there was space for a garden. We also wanted it to be a turnkey solution. We didn't want a fixer-upper. We didn't want to have to be able to come in and have to spend a lot of money and time to make it into what we wanted. We wanted to be able to walk in and see, oh my goodness, this is exactly what we want, and it would be ready for us. So we set that up and we began looking, and it took us 3 months. We had an agent. He would show us some homes and we go, oh, nope, that's not even close. Oh, this one, yeah, the outside is good, but the inside is not really there. Yes, the interior of the house really works except for this one room, and the outdoor halfway works. But here's the thing, we didn't compromise on our vision. We didn't accept something less than our vision. Finally, our real estate agent said he thought that he had the right home for us, and he brought us to something that at first, when we looked at from the outside, didn't fit. From the front, we saw a garage door and a gate. The agent opened the gate, and it was like a different world. There was this pond out front with a waterfall. We went up to these double doors, and it opened up to this beautiful, empty home. In the middle of the home was an atrium, open air, glass on all four sides, with a hot tub and a waterfall. So the whole atrium functioned as a kind of skylight to the entire home because the rest of the home was arranged around it. Had a huge backyard with rose bushes, lots of space for a lawn and a garden, a redwood in front, a big pine in back. It was open and spacious. We knew almost immediately this was it. It was also only 3 years old, and the architect had built it for himself but sold it a few months later to a couple. But then, after about 3 years, the gentleman's company wanted him to move to another location, so they bought the home from him, and he moved. They moved him, and then the house was empty for 9 months while the company tried to sell it. In the seller's market, they had a hard time selling it. In fact, the week before we arrived, they had had an open house, and nobody came. The company had been dropping the price on the home. When it came to us, we decided to offer $10,000 below the amount we were willing to pay. The company came back with an offer to sell it $10,000 above what we were willing to pay. We came back with the exact price we were willing to pay, and the company went for it. And we got the home we wanted for the exact price we were willing to pay. And the home had so many things about it that we never would have imagined if we had just created from the mind. We got more than we imagined, and it fit our state of consciousness. To this day, we can say we love our home without reservation. Sure, we have to improve some things over the years. Homes need attention, but we got what we were looking for. And we got it by choosing a state of consciousness, creating from soul. That's it for now. I'll be back tomorrow with your next reminder.